Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Cheryl Hardy, FAA Production Studios Public Relations and National FAST Team Representative of the Year from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
This is Cheryl Hardy with the FAA Production Studios coming to you at Sun and Fun 2009, and it's spring break for pilots this week, and we're glad that you're joining us. This program is going to be broadcast via our Managing Safety program on the radio, and we'll also bring it to you live via our internet stream later on this week. But right now on the rooftop, I've got Mr. Phil Randall. He is the Deputy National Safety Program Manager, and he's directly assigned to the FAST team. Is that correct?
That's true.
And I know, Phil, I've known you for several years now. You've been with us at Sun and Fun for quite a few years. Give us a little idea of what your duties are at Sun and Fun for this week.
Getting some rest. Seriously, Kevin and I have been, Kevin's our national manager, Kevin Clover, and I think we've been on the road all but about 3 weeks this entire year, and I look at this as a place to come and see old friends and, you know, see what's going on in GA, in the general world. I'm an air carrier person by trade,
yes.
and I love coming to Sun and Fun, you know, just to see you and the gang down here at the studios, and just really, really impressed with everything that y'all do down here.
We appreciate it greatly. Give us an idea, because I do know, Phil, that you do have a grueling schedule. Give me an idea of what leads up to the week.
To this week?
Yes.
You don't want to know. Kevin and I are working to make some changes in the FAST team as far as the national level. And we were in Washington last week, which was supposed to be our rest week, meeting with our boss, John Allen, who's the director of flight standards. And the week before that, we were in San Diego with all of our regional managers preparing for our all-hands meeting, which is in 2 weeks, get next week off. And the week before that, I think we were in Lake Tahoe. We're doing an international meeting with our peers from various countries in June to talk about the problems that we have with pilots and mechanics that we see, you know, the causal factors of the accidents and incidents, and to find out what their problems are, and then try to figure out what they're doing maybe that can help us and what we're doing that can help them. And we went over to Australia last year and met with Australian Safety Promotions Group, they call themselves. Mm-hmm. And in a way, they're ahead of us, and in a way, they're behind us. They are now doing seminars the way we've been doing for 40 years in the old safety program and now in the FAST team. What they did before was they had a magazine, a publication like the FAA Aviation News.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was their safety program.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're learning, and they're actually sending two of their safety promotions field people, like our FAST team program managers, over in May to spend 2 weeks with our people learning how we do our seminars and our safety events and things like that.
So yes, yes.
Just, you know, always busy.
And I know many of you aren't aware of the outreach that the FAA has got internationally and a lot of these programs. I've actually only been aware of them for a few years now. And I know that it's made a great difference, but this sharing and outreach is bringing to the table an international level of unity as well. I'm sorry, it is,
and you know, we're actually in Central America and stuff. Mm-hmm. We've actually gotten involved. I think 2 years ago we had the representative of their aviation,
Captain Ricardo. He was here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, him and his wife were here, and they're wanting to set up a safety program like we have with the FAST team. I've gotten emails from all over the world. It's hard now, you know, with FAASafety.gov being so popular. We got almost 550,000 airmen now registered that use the website and all the different things on it. But I've gotten emails from everywhere, all these international guys that and ladies that want to join the FAST team.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, it's good, but we didn't set it up to start with to go international. So now we're having to make changes.
Yes,
I think the new change is going to actually be You have to ask Brian Neville later, but okay. Brian told me last week that I think they're getting ready to have it so that people from outside the United States can register.
Mm-hmm. And Brian is going to be with us out back in the facility behind the FAA production studio. So if you're on site, do stop in and visit Brian Neville and give us that web address again.
It's FAAsafety.gov.
Very good. We didn't quite say that enough to emphasize it for you, but we want you to tune into FAAsafety.gov regularly, and you'll find information and updates, and you can customize your program just for you so you can receive all the information that you want and need. So that's what's very special about the program.
It's special, and you know the difference that a lot of people may not know between the old safety program and the FAST team, the FAA safety team, is that in the old program on both the pilot and the maintenance side, we basically, really, we talked a little bit about safety issues, but a lot of it was regs. Mm-hmm. You know, it was more of a let's go teach regs thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, my saying is that regs don't kill people. And,
right.
Mechanics that don't follow procedures and pilots that fly good airplanes in the ground seem to be the two biggest causal factors. And you know, it's just inherent, I guess, that we have more accidents in general aviation. And in the first 2-3 years of the FAST team, I think it seemed like we've been doing this 100 years, but I know it's only been like 3 or 4 years. But we've really concentrated because of Congress on the air carrier and on the maintenance side, on the air carrier maintenance departments and outsource maintenance to overseas repair stations, and really develop programs to create awareness within those repair stations and stuff on the fact that the mechanics aren't following procedures. So
sure.
We've come up with a lot of good products, but it, starting in October in FY10, in fiscal year 10, the way the government says, we're actually going to really focus on the inspectors, the mechanics that have the IA, the inspection authorization, and general aviation mechanics, and try to get to the ones there that never come to our seminars, and see if we can't figure out a way to get them involved to help us figure out how to get the accident rate down in maintenance and in GA,
right.
In air care, mess that up.
So we can look forward to the outreach there.
Oh yes, yes, and
excellent.
Looking forward to it. And like I asked you a few minutes ago, if you'd seen my buddy Aaron Tippin, we're gonna have Aaron be our spokesperson, and
super.
And he's got several videos where he actually was flying his steerman, and we're gonna do some cutting and do some neat things there to try to get the interest built up and everything.
That'll be terrific. He'll be a great spokesperson, I know.
We're
going to take a real quick break here, but when we come back, we want to talk a little bit about what it takes to assemble the team for an event like Sun and Fun. Yeah. So stand by. We'll be back with you shortly.
Now, let's rejoin Cheryl Hardy and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back. We're on the rooftop of the FAA Production Studios. This is Cheryl Hardy with the FAA Production Studios, and I'm with Mr. Phil Randall, and he is the Deputy National Safety Program FAST Team Manager, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. If you joined us for the first half of the segment, Phil had filled you in a little bit on what's going on and his grueling schedule and what the FAST team's doing internationally. But now I have a question for you. I'd like to, because for our listeners and for our viewers, being behind the scenes myself, I perhaps maybe have a little bit of an edge, but I don't think people realize what the involvement is of actually assembling the FAA on the grounds for an event like this and what it actually takes to put a team together.
Cheryl, I really can't compare it to anything. You know, I was part of a three-person team, Ken Spivey and Don Gardner and I put together mainly the Kitty Hawk for the Centennial Flight Celebration.
Yes,
I know what that was. I can't imagine something that, you know, it's every year, it's down here, mm-hmm. Getting the controllers from everywhere to come in.
Yes.
And then with the FAST team, we're kind of lucky. We have she calls herself my assistant, but she's really not, Felice Bruner.
Yes.
Who's
mm-hmm.
our marketing and communications manager for us, and works for Kevin and I at headquarters. She's actually the only one at headquarters.
Yeah, she does a fabulous job, if you don't know Felice.
She really does. And she has an exhibit team that goes to all the national events. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing. We have most of the people on the exhibit team are our field managers. They're mm-hmm. not the actual managers of the program out in each region. And everybody thinks they do a boondoggle. But, years ago when we used to come down here and do presentations and work and everything, it amazed me how hard it is to actually work an exhibit.
Oh, it is.
Everybody thinks it's so easy, but it's really just it's hard to do. And you know, she's got probably 7 or 8 people here going in and out this week. You know, we like to let more and more people come to these events, but we can't bring everybody.
So. Sure.
So she has like a 10 or 12 man team or person team,
And that's just on the fast team part. So
yeah,
understand
the
there are many facets. That's just the fast team.
Yeah, and we have the temporary FISDO downstairs.
That's right.
We have our people that are assigned from the fast team here at the NRC, like Obi Young and Karen O'Farrell and Larry Freeheit, and I don't know who all. I mean, the fast team is growing so fast.
Sure.
That's a pretty good fast, but that we go. And then, I mean, there's just so much going on here. I mean, it amazes me. You know, you've been, I don't know how long you've been with Obi and the
Over
production
10 years.
Studio, 10 years, and it just, it amazes me what you guys do. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know how we would ever have Sun and Fun without at the production studio. And
we appreciate
all
that.
You volunteers, because, you know, the fast team is all about volunteers.
It is. It truly is. And we do have a terrific base of volunteers dedicated to the fast team and the safety program. And they're out there putting together safety programs and seminars. And I know my husband, Hugh, and I support on a regular basis throughout the Central Florida area. And the information that is shared and the experiences that are learned are amazing. I think the outreach has been tremendous. I think that perhaps it's grown in leaps and bounds, at least in my eyes, in a vision, it's grown in leaps and bounds perhaps a little bit faster than I had anticipated or thought it would. And as you said earlier, the international level is there, and you weren't prepared for that, but you build it and they will come.
Oh, that's true. It's true. You know, you're talking about the volunteers. I think we're up to like 3,000 volunteers nationwide.
That's fantastic.
Now. And it's so amazing because it's different than it was with the safety program. You know, safety program, if you wanted to volunteer and help, you know, we took you on. But now we're looking for people to help us solve the problems. Mm-hmm. You know, we love to have anybody involved that wants to be involved in work, but we're looking, you know, looking for people that you know, I was telling Kevin last week in Washington, we need to start maybe having people send in resumes that want to be.
And let me tell you, the level of those resumes will be pretty astounding.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like our new fast team program managers, our field people. You know, the people in the old program were great, but the people we've got now are. It's just, you don't have to go and tell them what to do all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, some of their skills they need help with.
Sure.
But you know, like we all do. But it's so nice now to you know, we really hired the cream of the crop, is the way to put it. You know, Jim Balog, who was our boss back then, told us, he says, go hire the best of the best. And we got the best of the best. And I appreciate every one of them. And I appreciate you people
that's terrific.
That work with us and help us.
We thank you. We thank you. And those of you that are along on board with the FAST team and are volunteers, we thank you for being there.
It's truly
a team effort. And it starts from the smallest tasks that you can imagine up to unbelievable accomplishments that our volunteers have dedicated themselves to do. I know here at the studio, and I've said it time and time again, I know, but it's pretty astounding the level of volunteerism that we do have all year round. We bring you the programs yearly on our internet stream. We bring them to you live from the studio. We bring them via satellite. We broadcast throughout the world. And it takes a true dedication and a team effort to make that happen.
It does.
No question. We've got a great leader, Mr. Obi Young, here at the FAA Production Studios. You got to give him kudos and credits for this wonderful thing that's developed over the years. Even in the last 10 years, Phil, I've seen this develop from an amazing project that has now, again, the same phrase, build it and they will come. We had no idea we'd be this far in such a short period of time. So we're proud of what we've done.
And I'm sure you are, and you should be. You know, I'm sitting here looking at all these satellite dishes.
Yes, exactly.
And everything else, and I go in, and Obi was showing me, you know, before we came up here, all the new equipment that you've got. And it amazes me, and you know, the potential's there to do even more.
The potential is there. Our potential is phenomenal. The level of what we can achieve is there. It's a matter of going and grasping it, and of course, you know, being able to put the teams together and having the funding and the outreach and resources to do it.
And that's a big issue too. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin and I are always everybody says, you know, you're a bureaucrat now, but, you know, I don't look at myself as a bureaucrat. I'm more of a politician, because we have to go and try to get the what we call fast team industry members, which are the associations and corporations, to get involved with us.
Sure.
Because, you know, like any other government agency, we you know, we're funded well, but not to do everything we want to do, you know.
Right.
And, you know, and I've got, I don't know how many, I've got one person from each region on an airworthiness committee that we look into all the airworthiness issues, and they come up with some great ideas, and their people in their regions come up with good ideas for products and for training programs, and we're sitting there going, you know, we can't fund that this year. We've had to, you know, we're concentrating here, and so we've really gotten lately into the maintenance side, because if you go into the FAAsafety.gov and go into the Aviation Learning Center, there's not a lot of airworthiness courses there, and and I take the hit for that. But we just signed an agreement with AeroLearn.com, and they're going to build us 5 courses, plus they have thousands of courses that we're going to link to, that people will be able to take on every subject you can think of, maintenance wise.
So listen up on the maintenance side, folks. You've got you've got programs coming.
And we're gonna one thing I want to say too. I don't know if it'll be in. We're gonna start working on it in FY10, but it'd probably be FY11. But talking to Eric Minnis, who was our analyst yesterday, and before I left to come down here, there's a trend that bothers me. It seems like, you know, I don't know if it's the economy or what, but more and more pilots that own aircraft are doing their own preventative maintenance, and some are doing maintenance that may not be quite legal, and they're crashing, they're killing themselves, and it's due to doing the maintenance improper, you know, not following the procedures, not having the proper tools, not having the knowledge to do what they're doing. You know, if you can change brakes on your car, doesn't mean you can change brakes on your airplane.
No question.
Same thing with spark plugs. So that's an issue that we're really gonna have to look into, because I got a lot of friends. I'm not a pilot, but I got a lot of friends that are pilots.
Sure,
And I don't want them making mistakes and stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's the old chain of safety as well. I mean, you know, the trickle down. Somebody may make a mistake, but if that person unfortunately perhaps kills somebody else as well, you know, this is an issue that we all have to be vigilant about.
And that's true. You know, we were at the National Business Aviation Association meeting in Orlando last year. You and I talked. And we did some inspection authorization training for the IAs and corporate, you know, aviation. And one of the speakers, Guy Miner, who works for us out in the Western Pacific, is one of the leading people in maintenance human factors in the country. I know there's a lot of people that have doctorates and everything else, but Guy is just, he studies it. He's so learned on maintenance human factors, and he talks way above my head. You know, I'm sitting there going, what did he just say? But then he comes around, but he was showing back the Beach 1900 accident in Charlotte a couple of years ago where the rigging was wrong and they crashed and almost hit the hangar.
Yes.
A bunch of people were killed. But he put the human aspect into it when he showed the pictures of the flight crew and the passengers and different things. And Eli Cotty, who is the technical person I work with NBAA, was sitting beside me. We were in the back of the room, and he said, you know, it'd be great. He said, I don't know if we could do it, but if we could find the mechanics that rigged that airplane wrong, and we could find the mechanics on a couple other accidents, if you know, and get them to go around and do tell mechanics and pilots and everybody, you know, what they did wrong and how it's affected their lives. He said, I think we'd really do some good. So we're always looking at new ways to get the point across. You know, we got our big deal. You know, Kevin and I have tasked with reducing accidents, and we mainly do it through awareness training. And so, you know, my plea to the public and to the aviation world is, if anybody has any products out there that they want to share with us, or even, you know, if we can afford it, we'll buy them, that if they can help us reduce or create more awareness of the causal factors of accidents where pilots and mechanics are involved, then we definitely would be interested in those.
That'd make a wonderful difference. Well, Phil, I appreciate you being here with us today. You can hear that it's ramping up behind us, so I know that everybody out there knows that we are definitely live at Sun and Fun.
Yeah.
Spring break for pilots this week. That's the Sun and Fun theme, and it's going to be a pleasure to have you here all week long. Well, maybe we can chat again throughout the week.
I hope so. It's a pleasure as always, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
All right.
And for Managing Safety, we are out.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.